Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we go May 19th.
19th. 2020.
Get through the month, plowing through with nothing but fun times.
It's been a rip riot, hasn't it? Been interesting. No. Lots of single news items and headlines that are populating the world these days. I mean, everything is coronavirus, this or that. It's a little bit annoying, don't you think?
Well, it's like. Not much. They won't cover anything else.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine?
I mean, Sharon has got it right.
What is that?
This is all about getting rid of Trump.
Oh, you think so? There was a sign on somebody's lawn that said, Biden 2020, but it was spelled B-Y-E-D-O-N.
Yeah, by Dawn. Yeah, that's been around.
God. Everything to get, but it's not the voters are not thinking about getting rid of Trump. I mean, I was out this weekend and the flags are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like a sale on these boats. You know, Trump.
What's the flag? Say Trump 2020 or
Trump 2020 or, you know, keep America great, make America great again. Trump. It's all blue with Trump with something else going on. It's really quite amazing.
Well, you should take some photos.
There was a parade down here last week or the week before, a Boaters for Trump. I'm not kidding. They're crazy.
Boaters or voters?
Boaters. Boat, as in vroom, vroom.
Wow.
Yeah, so people, they like them. They like them. They like their Trump down here. I mean, you go down my block and there's people like erected flagpoles to put these flags up since Trump was elected.
Wow.
It's like a badge of honor or something that, you know, and I think the bigger you have the flag, you know, sometimes you see those, you go to like conferences or maybe outside of a store, they have those sale flags. You know what I'm talking about? They kind of look like a pole that goes up and then this half moon shaped flag.
Okay.
And somebody had that on their boat this weekend.
Big giant thing?
It's gigantic. It's going to be 12 feet tall.
Why don't they just make it a spinnaker?
I don't know. I mean, well, they have it on powerboats is what it is. But yeah, I'm sure there's going to be somebody having a Trump flag on a spinnaker soon. A lot of air needs to be put into that in so many different ways. So many different ways. Well, we have some new hope. I don't know if you heard, but there's a positive results from a trial that's going on right now from a company called Moderna, which does some kind of an RNA something or other. They have a lot of drugs in trial right now, and they're being pushed as a vaccine candidate, rallied the markets like 900 points yesterday on this news that they're in. Well, we're going to get into this because there's some weird stuff going on with this announcement. Really strange. We have more cities reopening slowly but surely. Economic numbers, of course, remain horrendous, just absolutely horrible.
Getting worse by the minute.
It is. Markets were in the red last week, and all that was returned back on Monday. Crude oil topping 31, which is a $70 rally from the lows. If you think about the negative 40 print, pretty astounding. There's not even a percentage you could put on that. I don't know where it's going from here, but we'll see more tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. You see the numbers come out for the amount of production as well as the amount of storage and build or not a build that's going on. Retail sales dropped 16%, the most on record. Pretty much any time I'm going to talk about economics from here for the next couple of months, I'll say whatever the number is, and then after that say the most on record.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
Yep. And we have Free Money for Everyone, Part 2. Kind of interesting. We'll talk about that. And finally, announcing a new close to the pin. Lots going on.
You should also mention Google's after hours. I understand it collapsed.
What What do you mean Google's after hours collapsed? What does that mean?
The stock collapsed.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Let's take a look at that. Hang on a second. That was last week, I thought. Let's see. His futures were up last I looked. Looking? Google. Up. Nope. I don't see it.
No. I was misled.
That was last week. There was an announcement on...
I
think it was Friday that they had an announcement that the Department of Justice was asked, or somebody was after them. Was it Department of Justice? Somebody was after them for antitrust.
The problem is with Google is that they still have, nobody knows how they get their numbers.
Well, I think the big issue, I think we have this somewhere in the show notes here, but the big issue was that there's concern that Google is utilizing their search and prioritizing their shopping and their clicks for what they want it to be.
Yes, I'm sure they do that, but why is that? I mean, don't you think if you're a company and your business is selling stuff and your search engine kind of highlights your stuff, I've never been convinced that that's a bad thing.
Not only is it not a bad thing, isn't that the point?
Well, I guess I could take it to that level, too. That's the point.
That's the point of why they're in business. They're not in the business to be gratuitously just helping you out. They got to make money. I mean, who else is left? Is Dogpile still around?
Yeah, I think Dogpile's around. DuckDuckGo is around. But they're all, you know, derivative. And there's a couple of independent little guys that do very poor jobs. They usually get bought up. And then there's Bing. Bing is still works.
Is Bing? There's Yahoo Search.
Oh, Yahoo Search is just Bing.
What was the ones we used to use way back when? What was like one of the first ones were out there?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them. And a lot of them end up getting bought up. It really irks me. There's like one that was out of the Scandinavia called Fast. It was quite a good search engine. And then Yahoo bought them. And then Yahoo started buying up all these guys. And then I thought, well, Yahoo's going to make some sort of kick-ass search engine here. And in the end, they just licensed Google. And then they end up licensing Bing. They just shelved all those good little search engines. It's almost that they were hired to do that.
Yeah, there was Alta Vista. There was somebody mentioned.
Well, Alta Vista was the original Google. Yeah,
Lycos. Wasn't there like, how about Ask Jeeves?
Ask Jeeves was a.
Oh, somebody just mentioned that just now, too.
Still out there, ask.com. It's not quite anything.
Yeah. Look smart, web crawler, go to all the web. Yeah, good stuff.
No, all the web. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, good stuff. Back in the days. And, of course, you can't forget about AOL search. I mean, that was... Listen, my father-in-law...
Keyword.
...still thinks that AOL is the internet. As a matter of fact...
How old is he?
He's like 92. But he's writing a story. He's writing a novel. He's very busy writing his novel, and unfortunately he doesn't see well, so he clicks some buttons, and he's working with Word, and things just get rearranged. So I constantly have to log into his computer and help him do things. You know, he calls me up and goes, Andrew, I have a real problem. I'm like, oh, are you okay? He goes, oh, it's terrible. I'm like, dude, do you need me to send somebody? My words aren't centered on the page. I'm like, what? He gets crazy. And, so he says, something wrong with the word. I'll fix it. I'll call. So he calls up AOL. He calls up AOL support for something about Word. He thinks
I wonder how many crackpot calls companies like that get nowadays.
I'm sure AOL gets a ton of them.
Well, they asked for it.
Yeah.
They should. I'll tell you what. Let's get Steve Case's home number and have him call Steve.
Is Steve still with AOL?
No, but that's the point.
Yeah, okay. That's a good point. That's a good point. Okay, let's talk about some other things. Markets. Seems that investors have been waiting to pounce on any good news. Every time there's a little bit of good news, even bad news, seems that no matter what, every dip... I got to be honest. When I used to watch and try to understand the charts of like Bitcoin or some of these other cryptocurrencies, there was a kind of a pattern where you would see these kind of moves up, then a flush down. And that flush down would oftentimes be where all these buyers will just show up and just jam everything higher. And our markets seem to be doing the same kind of thing these days.
So you're thinking the market's the equivalent of Bitcoin?
Pretty much. I mean, I watched today. Every time there was a drop down, markets would be starting to not sell off hard, but come in. They would buy it. And it was almost like they were looking for confirmation until that news came out mid-afternoon today that just crapped all over the markets, which we're going to talk about, Moderna news. But it seems like there's a lot of, I somehow feel like there's a lot of Robin Hood traders that are involved right now. A lot of newbies that are like, just buy every single dip that's out there, and possibly even some algorithms that are programmed that right now, since there is all this free money, just buy anything if it goes down. Anything. If it goes down, just buy it. Almost on a daily basis, you can watch.
Well, these are people who have never seen a bear market.
Yeah, they're trying not to see one again.
Well, you can try all you want. There's I guarantee it's not going to help.
Yeah. There's a lot of weird stuff happening.
But I will say the bear market has not clicked. I mean, it hasn't clicked into place, but once it does, it's going to be pretty, people aren't going to like what they experience.
Right. Because right now a bear market is defined as a 3-day drop from high to low. And then let's just recover and move on. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's that's the current definition of a would-be bear market. You know?
And Robinhood has reported that they're seeing a massive amount of trading volume. Massive.
Well, this is the dream come true, this sort of thing, for smart money who is looking to find ways out.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually a report came out just this week that hedge fund managers and institutional managers are majorly on the sidelines and selling across the board as things move. So that does play out to what you're saying. Smart money. What else do we got here? Doesn't seem there's any concern about the second wave of maybe a coronavirus or poor earnings or economics, because we saw manufacturing this week that was terrible and employment numbers last week that was terrible. Retail sales that were awful. Regional Philly Fed that was coming up a little bit, but still terrible, and no visibility. So I guess maybe the bulls are right. I mean, who cares about the data? Just buy, buy, buy. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, we know that's not true.
Right. But one of the things we saw today, yesterday was a major reversal. The stay at home plays. Once this news came out about the Moderna trial, the stay-at-home plays got sold. Cruise lines moved up. Airlines moved up. Banks moved up. Everything that was being bought, like the Pelotons or the Zoom Media, you know the names, those were all sold yesterday. And major divergence. Even though the markets were up 900 points on the Dow, and I think the small caps were up like 5.5%, but the small cap values were up like 6.7%. The value beat the growth on the large cap by like 2 percentage points yesterday. That's pretty significant, especially after all these were riding up. So Moderna is this company that has no drugs that are out there being utilized. There's a lot of trials that are happening right now. They came out with an announcement last few days. There's been this discussion. So on Sunday night, Fed Chairman Powell comes out on 60 Minutes and he talks about how things are bad. They're going to look really ugly. However, don't bet against America. That's the new thing, right? Warren Buffett says things are terrible, but I wouldn't bet against America. Then that worked out pretty well, it seems, for the markets. And then Powell comes out and says, you know, things are really bad. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And, you know, you shouldn't bet against America. And he talks about that, you know, we're not going to see a full recovery until there's a vaccine. And we've been seeing this discussion time and time again. A couple of days back, we saw some hedge fund managers talking about how this, you know, things are not going to return until there's a vaccine. Restaurants are not going to be able to survive until there's a vaccine.
They said these sorts of things during swine flu, or, well, they had a vaccine, I guess. But how come they never said this sort of thing during the SARS epidemic?
I mean, the SARS epidemic didn't hit us that hard, did it?
Well, this may not have either if they hadn't shut down and panicked.
Oh, right. If we didn't, or as President Trump said, if we didn't test, we wouldn't have all these cases.
Well, there's that. That's true, by the way.
That is. There's a total truth.
If you don't test anybody, you got no cases, and you test 1,000 people, you get, say, 500 cases. And then the next week, you test 2,000 people, you get 1,000 right. cases. Oh, it's going up. It's not necessarily going up. You're just testing more.
Yeah. I mean, there is some of that. I mean, the fact is you do have cases if you're testing more, but yes, I get what you're saying. I mean, more people would probably pass college if you didn't test as much. Right?
I guess.
Yeah. So what happened was Moderna came out with this. They're in a phase one. They're being fast-tracked. Phase two they're in now. They're looking for hopefully getting to phase three by July. And then hopefully there's going to be a vaccine for this in by the end of the year. Which is very aggressive. Extremely. It usually takes years. But what's interesting about this whole thing is that, first of all, we don't know if they're actually going to have a drug that really works. Right now, it's not killing anybody, so that's good news. Now we came out with an announcement. There was an announcement on Monday morning, 8 o'clock, the CEO, who, by the way, has been really making the rounds lately, which is kind of interesting. I'm like, you know, why? When do you see that? When do you see all these CEOs all of a sudden start making the rounds? It makes me a little bit weirded out. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I don't like seeing it.
You know? So now what happens is it comes out with a thing. Hey, you know what? Great news. 8 of the participants created the antibody that was found in people that have been cured or come out, you know, had the coronavirus, and then they're cured. And then the particular antibodies that are in their bodies that then were created, therefore making them immune for the further. We found these in these people that we injected this trial in, okay? 8 people. That is not a statistically significant piece of information. Number
it's
1.
It's a nothing.
Number 2. It came out in a press release, and it came out with them. So there wasn't a scientific published data of the full study. Not only that, this is only a phase 1 part into a phase 2. They're not even in the full study here. So we're getting information that is not statistically significant, and we're getting information that is through a very different channel, more like a CEO and a company coming out with some great numbers, like you would in almost in a penny stock pump and dump kind of situation.
Yeah, this is reminding me of Theranos every minute.
Yeah, every day, right. So I said to my wife yesterday, I said on Sunday night, I said, you know, I got to tell you, this whole thing is a little weird with Moderna. Then they come out with this information on Monday morning. Okay, the stock market flies on this news, okay? Late in the day, Moderna does something. What do they do? What do they do? What do they do? They do a secondary offering of I think it was $1.25 billion or some number.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. And how are you doing a secondary on the back of this news that you have? Kind of weird.
I think it's illegal.
Yeah, weird. So call me skeptical, but the CEO making the rounds, very aggressively pushing this whole thing. The information coming out, not in a very standard published way, which, by the way, don't call me a Scrooge in this. Oh, God, what is this guy? I want a cure just like anybody else, or a vaccine or some kind of treatment. I'm there. But there's a difference between having it and just getting too pumped up and setting ourselves up for failure. Can you imagine if we just keep on pumping this thing and then nothing comes out of it?
Which is my guess.
Ends justify the means. Well, at least we got the markets back up. At least we got people back working. People are feeling better. I don't know. So today, fast forward, Stat comes out. This is the company, the blog that comes out with a lot of medical data. They came out with the information originally about the Gilead treatment, where at first they gave all the reports, the market flew on that information, and then they come out with a report and like, we don't understand why the markets read this as such a positive. Gilead came down a bit after that, markets came down a bit after that, like 3 days later. Stat comes out with it and says, hey, you know what? This is not exactly a proper submission of data. And they even said, why is this stock acting like a pump and dump, or they said a penny stock biotech? Why are they doing this? This is not the way of a $30 billion company, which, by the way, has no products out there yet.
Yeah, all I have is Bill Gates money.
Down 16% or 18% today. Secondary was at 76. Stock came in throughout the day. It was going up a little bit in the early morning. Stock came in, I think it hit a low of 64 in the after hours. I think it closed in the after hours at 67. And then the markets reacted the same way once this news came out. Things were going along swimmingly today. The NASDAQ was just going up because that's what the NASDAQ does. It just goes up. But this news comes out and reverses the Dow, which was kind of flat to down 390 by the end of the day. The S&P is down. And all of the other players that have been in this space that have been doing the same kind of crap, there's been about 4 or 5 stocks that are doing the same kind of maneuvering, all came down pretty hard today. Pretty interesting. So what do you say about that?
Sounds like something's up.
Yeah.
Nothing good.
We have a big podcasting update. Spotify signing Joe Rogan to an exclusive podcast deal. So it seems that from what I read, and it's not a lot of information. Did you see this?
Yeah.
So it seems like Spotify is going to be have the exclusive rights to the Joe Rogan show starting in 2021. It's going to be kind of starting soon on Spotify and slowly but surely phasing over. And he's also going to be transferring his back catalog of more than a decade of podcast and publishing new episodes. And supposedly the rumored value on this was $100
million. It seems a bit high, but it's possible. I mean, he is the leading podcaster. But I'm guessing there's probably more to this because Rogan's been in the business long enough to know to have a good entertainment lawyer. And I'm guessing there's a pay or play clause and some sort of other things in there that indicate if this thing goes south for whatever reason, because he's got to have two things. One is pay or play, and the other one is which guarantees money. And the other thing is a creative control, and it has to be absolute. And the nature of his podcast doesn't fit in with the typical stuff that they're trying to do in the world of podcasting, which is make things brand safe. And so I'm wondering whether it ever gets to fruition or not, and whether or not Rogan actually walks away with his old podcast intact and a pot full of money. Tom Likas pulled a stunt like this some years ago again with some radio stations. And I don't know how much money he made, but it was definitely in the eight figures.
Do you or Adam get any kind of a spiff from this, from starting this whole thing? I mean, just a little.
Yeah, we get a thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. Did you pick up a lot of listeners, you think, when Adam was on the Joe Rogan show?
I think we picked up a few hundred.
Oh, that's good. All right, that's good. We'll see what happens with this, but I will let you know, Spotify, if you happen to be listening, by the way, we come a little bit cheaper than the 100 million. And I think that if they offer
we're
us
valuable.
Yeah, if they offer us a couple, 3 million, we'll probably bite on that, wouldn't we?
I think it's got to be a little more than that.
All right. Well, but we'll come in under the 100 million. How's that?
Yes, by far.
Yeah, we'll come in under the 100 million. And you know, we probably have podcasts going back further than Rogan, I would think. I think we do. So we'll give you the whole back catalog. Maybe. Give you the whole back catalog.
Yeah, there's nothing like old stock market information. It's so valuable.
And we will throw in an ebook that has not been published by John yet on vinegars.
Now you're talking.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll definitely throw that in.
Throw in the vinegar book. Why not? I think so. Economics coming out this week. Housing starts, building permits, crude oil inventories, initial claims, Philly Fed home sales, leading indicators. And probably most of them are going to be housing starts will probably be okay. Building permits are probably going to be okay. Crude is what I'm looking for because now we're starting to get into that $32 range. And the question about whether or not we're going to see a major sell-off into the end of the June contract. So we're going to be looking at probably starting this week or next, the question of whether or not people are going to want to be holding onto those contracts or whether they're going to just belt them down hard like we saw last time.
Yeah.
So let's see what else. Update on GDP. Now, this is pretty fascinating. This is the GDP now from the Atlanta Fed. Check out this chart. All these charts and pictures and things and all that stuff that you want to see that we're talking about can be found on dhunplugged.com. Go over to episode number 506, and you can go to the show notes there, and you'll find all this. This is a table calculating GDP, and what they do is they look at certain dates, and they add in all the different factors that come into it and start accumulating that data to try to figure out what the GDP is going to be. So each data point that comes in, it adjusts the GDP, and that's why they call it the GDP now. So it's almost a live look at GDP of where they expect it to be, okay? So these are annualized rates of GDP. GDP is quarterly. So if we look at April 30th, we had the initial nowcast that was at negative 12 for the second quarter of 2020. Negative 12% annualized GDP. May 1st, we got the ISM manufacturing index and construction spending. It dropped down to negative 16%. Then we got a few other things, and we got May 13th, the producer price index. That was really ugly, but when you calculate that, and the employment situation is now down to 35%. You add in on the 14th, important export prices and retail trade and all that and manufacturing. And then by the time you're at May 19th, which is today, you got the housing start. So we're now at a negative 41.9% annualized GDP for Q2 2020.
Well, that's up from the 15th of May.
Right. It was 42.8 at that point.
Housing starts have turned it around.
Yeah.
Watch this number fall like a rock.
I don't know how much lower can it go. How much lower can it go? People, we're still doing.
Well, I mean, fall by a rock in the other direction. It's going to start going the other way.
It will. And there was a good question on Twitter tonight when I posted this. And the idea is that when you look at these horrible numbers, any move off of that base is really positive to it. So if we just get a little bit of positive, you may have a very significant amount of, like, let's say, 8% year over year, which would still be a long way off. But I'm looking at this year, we're probably going to have anywhere from, I would say, an 8, probably about a negative 8 print for the year.
Yeah, you're an optimist.
Well, that's assuming things get back to work a little bit. Now, last week, we were talking about where's all this money coming from, and we had some indications. We said, hey, you know, maybe there's some money coming in from foreign governments or foreigners into the markets. Remember we talked about that a little bit?
Yes.
So there is some now evidence that there is massive foreign money coming into the U.S. markets, government-sponsored, like sovereign wealth funds. I think there was the Saudi Arabian. They started buying some of the banks up. And they're looking for another $10 billion loan to put into their sovereign wealth fund to buy more things. And several other sovereign wealth funds are definitely involved in the markets. So that's where some of that excess money is coming in. These guys have unlimited time horizons. You know, it's not like they're saying, hey, we're going to invest for next week. They'll buy Citigroup and they're like, ah, you know, we're going to hold it for the next 20 years. So.
Well, they can have it.
Yeah. And Buffett, by the way, came out with his recent updates to his holdings. So he sold out of his airlines. He sold out of several banks. We know the airlines. We knew that. Because he said that before this came out. He sold off Goldman Sachs, and I think he sold off some of Wells Fargo. We talked about Wells Fargo dropping last week until that rumor came out that Goldman Sachs was going to buy them. And there's a lot of that going on, right? So everybody that's going out of business, and I have a list coming up of the companies that have gone bankrupt so far this year. But we saw that AMC Theaters, they're having a hard time. They're going to go under, and well, Amazon's looking to bid. Remember that? And then JCPenney's going bankrupt, and guess who is now in talks with
JCPenney?
Amazon's in talks with JCPenney. How does that work?
Well, this is like the olden days. This is like the dot-com era. If you remember when. The tail started wagging the dog every which way, where AOL ended up buying out Time Warner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was bad.
And, you know, which was just a ridiculous situation. And I think at the time, Time Warner also had some other properties, and AOL is now owning them all. And somehow there was a switcheroo along the way. Somehow AOL Time Warner became Time Warner again. And somehow they just absorbed AOL, and it, like, nothing ever changed. And this is a version of that.
It's you're going to see a lot of this, and that spooks a lot of the shorts and a lot of players that maybe think that there's a lifeline being given by this. But the AMC is interesting from a couple of aspects, but yet the JCPenney, what are they going to do with that? Those are humongous stores. They're going to put most of it to be storage, warehouse, distribution centers, and they're your front end. Do you remember the old Lurias?
Well, they're paying too much for the property if that's what they're going to do with it.
What are they going to do with it?
Although I would say now maybe those mall properties are worthless because those malls are collapsing left and right.
Right. So what's the advantage of Amazon buying JCPenney?
I wish I could read an analysis with somebody explaining it because I don't get it either.
Yeah. Well, Buffett also has a long-term time horizon, but he added no new positions, which is very interesting. So the question is Buffett wrong? Or is he just being very wise? Or is he just, you know, too old to bother with this crap anymore, saying, you know what? I made my money. We're good. Let's just hang on to it for a while. I don't know.
Well, he's usually not, he's only been wrong once.
When was that?
And that was during the tech boom.
Oh, that he didn't buy anything.
He didn't buy anything. He didn't think much of it. And it's not as though he lost anything, but he never loses. He just didn't make the big killing he could have made.
Right.
So now he's getting out of everything wisely. I don't know. He has a calmness about him and a savviness that is pretty hard to ignore. I would say if he's getting out of everything, everyone should take his advice.
I wonder who the next Buffett's going to be. You know, that kind of
You know, these guys don't. There's probably one out there doing stuff right now, and we won't know who it is until it gets pretty old.
Yeah.
Because Buffett was doing this forever until he became Buffett.
Yeah. The bankruptcies I was mentioning, here's the bankruptcies so far this year. We saw JCPenney file this weekend. Dina DeLuca, True Religion Apparel. I feel like they went bankrupt once before. I just don't remember, but I thought they did.
Dina DeLuca did too.
Yeah. CMX, and they'll come back again and go bankrupt again in the future once again. This happens on a regular basis, these kind of companies. CMX Cinemas, J. Crew. I thought J. Crew went private, then they went public, then they went private again, and now they're going.
Yeah, they're done.
Gold Gym, Neiman Marcus, or as my wife would call them, Needless Markup. Stage Stores, and I don't know who's next. I'm not sure who's next on this list here, but looking pretty grim. In the category of, let's just try something for God's sakes, okay? In South Carolina, a restaurant used dress-up and blow-up dolls in a restaurant to keep social distancing. Yeah. So I got a picture of this. Have you seen the picture?
I didn't see the picture.
So basically, this is
booth. It looks like a typical customer.
So they have these booths. And in order to maintain the social distancing in tables and booths, what they did is in between each booth, they put a blow-up doll with a wig on it, just sitting in the seat. In this particular picture, it's a man and a woman, in order to make it look like, I guess, there is not as few people in the restaurant, I suppose, I guess. It's kind of eerie, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of creepy.
You know what they need
to do? The worst part is that they'll get served before you do.
Probably. And you know what they need to do? They need to put like a recording of two people just chit-chatting that just loops at the table. Can you pass the salt? Pass the salt?
They have a buzz in the place.
Yeah. So that's number one. That's the first one in South Carolina. Second one is a little weirder. It's in South Korea. It seems that they wanted to fill the stands in a stadium. There was some kind of sporting event that was going on. There was not a lot of people there. And of course, and they had this major social distancing and they wanted to fill it up. So what did they use? They used sex dolls. So throughout the entire.
Well, at least the good news is the sex dolls have masks on their face and they're social distancing.
Yeah. And they have their hands up. I don't know what that means. The hand up must be something in Korea.
Probably rooting for the team. I don't know.
So they got their hands up.
They came at a discount. Their hands stuck up in the air.
I guess. So this was really taken very poorly by South Korea. And they had to apologize. They're embarrassed. It's a whole thing. I don't know what's going to happen to these sex dolls after the fact. But it would seem that, you know, with social distancing and with the probably end of prostitution for a while.
It's pretty hard to sell a used sex doll.
Right. But what about lightly used? What about just open box sex doll? No?
Yeah.
Never been used? I don't know. All right, what else do we got? Down a little bit lower. Huawei, the Trump administration moved to block the global chip supplies to the blacklisted telecom equipment giant. And there's all sorts of trouble. And there's a new rule now that's unveiled by the Commerce Department, which expands U.S. authority to require licenses for sales to Huawei of semiconductors, and what are we doing here?
We used to do this years ago in the 80s.
Who did we do this with?
We did with everybody. We remember when the Japanese or some or the Russians needed getting some chips from the Japanese through Toshiba, and it was a big scandal because we had some laws against selling high tech stuff to the Russians and to anybody that's a competitor.
So is this, it seems that when anybody thinks about 5G, they think about Huawei, right? They got the product.
Well, they talk a big game, yeah.
Right. So Do you think this is really directed because of the concern about Huawei? Or is this that, hey, they're the biggest chip company, telephone company, telecom equipment company in the world, in China, and we just want to hit them right there? Is that what this is? Because they're going to retaliate right back at us.
What are they going to do?
They're going to put, they talked about putting our technology companies on the untrusted list or whatever they call it.
What do we sell any?
We say Apple sells, yeah, of course.
Competes with Huawei in China? I don't think so.
I mean, maybe Cisco?
I don't think Cisco gets into, well, Cisco only sells to Huawei so they can steal the circuits.
Okay, well, what about Apple?
Well, Apple's a different story. Apple is popular in China.
Yeah. So.
But it's a two-way street with Apple because Apple also makes their stuff in China. So it's really, might as well be a Chinese company.
Right. Actually, somebody mentioned Qualcomm. That's a big one there too.
Qualcomm, yes, I agree.
Yeah. So they put that on the list. So we'll see what happens. I mean, all right, moving along. Lots to talk about. Billionaire hedge fund. This is from the, what kind of a call is this? What? Is this one of those heads I win, tails you lose kind of thing? Billionaire hedge fund investor Paul Tudor Jones. By the way, I've always loved that name somehow. Isn't that just a Paul Tudor Jones? Sounds so aristocratic, doesn't it?
Yeah, sounds like a CIA name.
Yeah. PTJ said the economy would be in a second depression if the coronavirus pandemic doesn't get contained for another year.
What's the second depression?
I guess the first depression was in the 30s.
Oh, I thought that we were in the second depression already. Well, what's he talking about?
What's going to describe a depression? I mean, is it unemployment over
30% unemployment? Nobody's doing anything. Everything's falling apart. Businesses are shutting down. I mean, sounds like a depression to me. All that's missing is a run on the banks.
Yeah. And bread lines, more bread lines. There are bread lines.
Well, there's bread lines anyway.
Yeah.
There's bread lines. You go out there, you can't get into Whole Foods. You got to wait in line. It's nothing but bread lines.
But he's saying if it doesn't get contained for another year, I think what he's saying is that there's if we have to have stay-at-home orders for another year.
That's nuts.
By the way, do you think that if we do see a spike in new cases that, let's say, in a state or even nationwide, but let's just say state by state, do you think there's the political will for any of the governors or any of the states to go back to a stay-at-home order?
No, not heading into summer. They're not going to do it.
Right. No way, right?
No way.
No. Do you think if it was in the fall, if it got really bad again, they would have a stay-at-home order again?
I don't think it's going to get bad again. I'm not buying any of it.
Okay. Well, especially if we get past the election is what you're saying. If we get past the election and this is all about just Biden or getting rid of Trump and whoever wins, then you're saying it could just wash out and everybody is healed miraculously.
It's a possibility. Mm.
Yeah,
here's the Sharon theory.
Here's the Google and hot water story. The U.S. Justice Department, a group of state attorneys generals are likely to file an antitrust lawsuit against the Alphabet company, Google, focusing on Google's ad business. Yeah, stupid.
Well, what's going to be interesting is see where this, if Google just doesn't buy these guys out, which is what I'd do, and this actually goes to court and discovery takes place.
Yeah.
All hell's going to break loose.
So they're going to try to
discovery. You know how discovery works. It's.
Yeah.
You just basically ask for everything that the company's up to completely. You want to see all the records. You want to see everything they're doing. You want to see all their emails. You want to see everything. You want to see all their plans, their schemes. And you just plow through all that stuff. And you're going to find that Google's have been violating all kinds of laws and they're probably doing something screwy with the ad numbers. So
I would tend to agree. It's going to get ugly. SoftBank. SoftBank recorded a net loss of $9 billion for the fiscal year ending in March, the worst results in nearly four decades of history, as huge losses at the $100 billion Vision Fund and other investments threw into question its aggressive strategy of funding technology startups. And a lot of that was due to Uber and WeWork. Jack Ma has now left the board. So the whole idea of just throwing, you know, what happened was all this money came in, as we've talked about. They threw it into all these startups. built these unicorns to multi-level unicorns, kept on throwing money at it and then adjusting their valuation because of the money they would throw at it, right?
Yeah.
And then when things didn't work out, they're like, oh, it was just a bad investment. No, no, you made the investment, idiot. You made this whole thing, this shenanigans.
Yeah, that's the way they did. That's their whole that was their model.
Yeah.
It worked fine if things are going well.
Right.
When it reverses, you got an issue.
Right. This is exactly like a Madoff situation. Not saying that they were a fraud, but if you think about it for a second, everything is fine as long as everything is fine. Right?
Yeah, that reminds me of the joke where the guy says, you know, this guy comes in and says, hey, your stock's gone up 10%. So we'll buy more. He says, okay, buy more. Buy 20. Everybody's going up another 10%. Buy more. Buy more. 10%, 10% keeps going and going. The guy ends up buying, you know, just a ton of the stuff. He just says, okay, now it's up, what, 500%? Sell it. The guy says, to who?
Yeah. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We called it. We called it last week. It's happening in the Bel Air Diner in Astoria, New York. This started hosting pop-up drive-in movie nights in its parking lot. Because of the statewide ban on other movies.
Yeah, so. You know, I was a little less enthusiastic about the idea than you were. Although there are still a bunch of abandoned and still available drive-in theaters that do have, you can get a projector in there, a new projector, and then you do the radio. You get the sound through the radio instead of those crummy speakers you used to hook to your window. It's always a possibility.
The problem with the ones that you had hooked to your window is it's possible that it's going to rain or be cold outside. And you always, if you were on the driver's side and you had that thing sticking through your window, that big metal box with the...
Yeah, it's a big metal box. Right?
You know, with the little knobs and the thing.
Crappy little knob.
Right.
Lousy speaker.
Right. You know, you'd possibly get wet and it was just, you know, and then somebody smoking outside or something like that. It was, you know, but now with the radio, I think it was AM at first. I think it's gone to FM, but we'll see.
FM is probably a better idea.
Yeah. The PPP program, surveys have found that minority-owned firms were neglected in the PPP program, the Payroll Protection Program.
Sounds like somebody drummed. Okay.
I mean, the problem was that, here's the problem. The Payroll Protection Program, at first, you had to have a relationship with a bank. So I don't know if that had something to do with something. Then again, a lot of the community banks and local, and usually it was the big banks at first that were dealing with it. So maybe, I'm speculating here, I don't know. Maybe some of these minority-owned businesses worked with smaller banks in their communities and they didn't have the access to it.
What smaller banks?
I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It says, a report from the SBA Inspector General found that businesses owned by people of color may not have received loans as intended under the Payroll Protection Program. There was no evidence, the report said, that the SBA told lenders to prioritize businesses owners in underserved markets, including businesses with owners of color, something the CARES Act had specifically instructed the SBA to do. So this is paperwork coming in. It's not like you know, oh, look at that. That application's from a person of color.
Yeah, you wouldn't normally know.
There's no way to know. So now what's happening is there's some changes afoot, by the way, with the PPP program. President Trump is now talking about moving from the 8-week period where you have to pay out and then 8 weeks where from the date that you get the money to bring back employees and to pay the salaries to 24 weeks. And that's going to probably elevate unemployment significantly. Because you're not required to quickly bring back your employees to keep this money as a grant rather than a loan. Then you say, you know, all right, let them collect unemployment a little bit longer because it's $600 a week plus the state money they get, and then we'll hire them back at the end of that period.
Yeah, that's good thinking.
And the Democrats have put forth a $3 trillion legislation package to fund further unemployment. And to extend that and to do a bunch of things with the PPP program to say that you don't have to spend it on salaries necessarily. Right now it's a 75% at least has to be paid for salaries. 25% could be paid for things like rent or utilities or other things that come up that you've had in place before February. And there's also money for hospitals and for states. Gavin Newsom today was asking for $1 billion. Scratch that. Bring it back. $1 trillion. $1 trillion he was asking for from the federal government, saying it's necessary. Because if we don't have it, we're not going to be able to pay our workers, including fire and policemen and first responders and government personnel.
How does that work?
He said there's so much money that's being lost from the coronavirus.
What money is being lost? The police department is still based on local taxes.
He said
they're still paying local taxes. State taxes for property taxes are still being collected. That pays for the police department. What's he talking about?
He said that they're $50 or $60 billion in the hole. So I don't know how you get from.
Well, that could be, but that's got nothing to do with anything. Well, we were $50 or $60 billion in the hole before this all started.
Well,
up.
He says he
and then
wasn't.
They jacked up the state income tax at 13%. And there's still $50 or $60 billion in the hole. Maybe mismanagement's at work here.
Oh, that's there's no question about that. But I just wonder how you get from, let's just for a moment, pretend by the end of next month there'll be $100 billion in the hole, just for a moment, okay?
Yeah, how do you get to a trillion?
How does a trillion come up?
Yeah, well, it seems like a round number. He doesn't know math very well.
Obviously not. He's moving commas around. Not good. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with this PPP program and all that. It is very sad if the case was, and I think there's still money left in the program, so I don't, with the people that didn't take it or doubled up or had to return it, and I'm not exactly sure why people, there's things I could think about possibly why, but it doesn't make any sense. It would seem that if you applied, maybe they didn't know about it, but I don't know why that would be that group of people versus others. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, there's too much money. Scammers are everywhere.
Yeah. Open Table says that 1 in 4 restaurants won't open again.
Yeah, I believe that. I'm surprised that number's that low.
Open Table surveyed about 20,000 of its 60,000 restaurants it works for in its most recent State of the Restaurant Industry report. Total reservations and walk-ins were down 95% on May 14th from that date the year before, which makes sense if everything's closed. They were down 100% throughout the month of April compared to the same year before. So,
golly, they're fascinating how they dig these numbers up. Companies closed is down 100%, huh? Who knew?
Could be down 150%.
Well,
not really. I'm just saying that's obvious. I mean, that's an obvious sticker on that one. But, like I said, things will go really good because you'll see that, now they'll start not comparing the year before. They'll start comparing the month before now. Now they'll say, wow, our traffic is up 180%. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
It's a cruise lines just did that. They're like, hey, our reservations are up 600% from this time and whatever. I'm like, I don't think so.
Is Open Table traded?
I think somebody bought them. Oh. I want to say TripAdvisor bought them, I think. Let's look. Who bought Open Table? Priceline. One of a $2.6 billion on June 13th, 2014. And it's from, they found him in 1998 in San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the operation. There's a known back door in Open Table.
To do what?
Well, so the way I was told the story, it's so some unscrupulous stock market traders can follow the dining habits of certain rich investors, and they coordinate what restaurants they're going to with the comings and goings of local airports with other people who may be a merger and acquisition candidate.
Yep. Nice.
And put two and two together.
Where there's money to be made, there's some scam and some creativity. Always.
Of course.
Let's get to the part of the show called free money. Free money for everybody. German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Emmanuel Macron jointly announced that plan, which will provide grants rather than loans for the most affected sectors and regions based on the EU budget programs and in line with European priorities, $500 billion, which seems like nothing.
I mean, compared to us, we're the big spenders.
Yeah, we did $3 trillion. But these are all going to be grants, not loans. Just like...
That's just throwing money away.
Just giving money away. Mark Cuban thinks that every family should get about $1,000 every 2 weeks, but it has to be spent within the first 10 days of getting it.
On what?
On anything, but it can't be saved, put in the markets, or anything like that. It has to be spent in order to prop up the...
increase my wine collection, because that's pretty much the only thing I can spend money on, except groceries, yep. Which doesn't cost that much.
Yep, so it has to be spent. We talked about the potential for an extension of the PPP. Now we're talking about also deductions for restaurants and leisure activities for businesses. President Trump is big on this one. We should put back in the deductibility of business meals and business travel. Well, business meals in particular because right now.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So, yeah. And then
back to the 3-martini lunch. The country was in much better shape during that era.
We'll be so much happier. So much happier.
Everybody was happier.
You know, I went out. I remember when I first started in business, I went out to the something club in New York with all the Remingtons.
21?
Yeah, 21 Club. And I was out with all these guys and they were wooing me about something. And when we had lunch, everybody's like ordering a martini or they're ordering a scotch or something. I'm like, all right, I guess so. I wasn't used to doing that, right? I don't know how anybody works after that. How do you work after that?
You get logy.
I don't even understand.
I don't know if they work much. They I don't know. I was never a fan of, I mean, I appreciate people that have to do it to get by, but I was never a fan of having anything more than maybe one glass of wine at lunch. And that I don't like doing. I generally have iced tea.
Yeah.
Because because if you're going to work the rest of the afternoon, you're going to be kind of sluggish.
Yeah. Right. I just remember.
I mean, if you're taking the rest of the afternoon off, well, then sky's the limit. But, you know, if you're going to work, if you're going back to the office, you better, you just have to be sharp, you know, iced tea, some cup of coffee or two.
I distinctly remember the martinis and cigarettes. It's ingrained in my, that meeting. I don't know where it went to that meeting, but it was fun. And Powell is talking about ZERP forever, by the way, which is zero interest rate policy. Quick PSA, the TDI podcast, the Disciplined Investor podcast. I put a lot of time in this week. I call it the hokey pokey, putting one foot in, putting one foot out. The whole idea of people, I got so many calls last week, John, about people calling me about like, oh, I cashed out, you know, new clients. I cashed out in February, March, and I don't know what to do now. Right? You know, like, do I put the money back in? And I
how
kinda,
about be happy?
Right, well, that's true also. Yeah. take 5 minutes to be happy. And the idea of what to do, I don't know what I should go back in. I'm getting nervous. I got FOMO. I want to go back in. I went through this whole explanation of how to seed your portfolio potentially in this environment and how to go through a multifaceted dollar cost averaging program that relies on time and relies on opportunities and all that. So it was I thought it was a really good explanation and podcast. So just
well, good. People should listen to that one for sure.
Yep. And of course you can listen on Thursdays and Sundays to the No Agenda podcast or the No Agenda show with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak and find out what is really, really happening with all the news that you're listening to, because probably what you're listening to is not what is really happening. Would you say that's a truth?
Well, except for this show.
Right.
But I think broadcast media is what you're referring to. And yeah, it tends to be slanted and it has an agenda. They use propagandistic tricks. It's gone downhill.
Yep. Two things I want to mention. We're running out of time here because we just have so much to talk about. Number one, there is a new close to the pin. It's with Intuit, the stock Intuit, you know, TurboTax and all that. So you can go over to DH and Plug, click on the contest top right. It says there's a little countdown going on. A couple more days to enter your price of what is going to be on the closing date, which I guess is, let's see, that's going to be on the 29th. So you put it in by this Friday. So you have it in there and you have your opportunity to do two things. Number one, win a one-of-a-kind DH and Plug t-shirt. Get kudos and comments on the show from us. and also be eligible for the end of year closest to the pin cup, which I still have not sent out that trophy. It's sitting right here. I have to go send it somewhere, and I haven't gone out of the office to anywhere but home.
The trophy's going to be a year old by the time the guy gets it.
I'm going to have to like take it out and do like maybe a cleaning on it or something, you know, because it's brass or whatever. I feel bad. No, he's not complaining, though. The other thing I want to mention is you go over to dhunplugged.com. You can find where that little yellow button is that says donate. Help us out. Help the cause. It's really important to be a part of the show, to not only participate in the chat and all the things you do with emails and all that, but also to participate, because until we get that offer from Spotify, we rely on people like you to support what we're doing here on a regular basis, every single week on Tuesday nights, starting at 9 o'clock. So I think that deserves a little something, something.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Two other stories. We're going to not do the limericks again this week because we're running out of time. Facebook bought Giphy, which is
Giphy,
the popular website for making and sharing animated images, for $400 million. That's pretty unbelievable. What's the point of that? Do you have any thoughts of why they're...
Well, the question I asked was there a make-buy decision involved with this? Because what does it take to come up with a website that does what they do?
It's amazing to
and
me.
Somebody, by the way, and I have to say, and unfortunately I feel bad that I forgot what it was, but my son, who's like kind of in the business of these high-tech companies, he had some reason that he said, well, they did it for and it wasn't the customer base. It was something.
The reason that I heard was that it's ingrained into like the iPhone. It's ingrained into Twitter. And now Facebook could track all that, where that's coming from.
Oh, it's that's right. That's what he said. He says they're not a company that makes GIFs. They're a company that's a tracking company. They got some very advanced tracking algorithms.
Yep. So once again, Facebook is back to tracking any way possible.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what Facebook is too.
I mean, if you're an advertiser and Facebook can sell you a load of crap about how they can track people so well, they can target your ad and you get more bang for your buck and all the rest of it. Yeah, that's pretty compelling.
$400 million for GIFs or GIFs seems like a lot of money. But they're also opening Facebook shops, which are allowing businesses to set up online stores for customers to access on Facebook and Instagram.
That's overdue. The problem with this, I don't want to interrupt on all these things, but this is Yahoo's game. I mean, Yahoo tried to do this for God knows how long, letting people open up shops and setting up shopping carts and then tracking them. You know, if I'm going to run an online store, I don't think I'm going to run it through Facebook.
Well, that's what Shopify was. They are also partnering with Shopify, BigCommerce. Shopify is good for that. They help you set up all the carts very easily. I mean, I've seen people set up these ridiculous sites in a matter of minutes on Shopify.
Yes, Shopify is one of the better sites to do that. I don't know what Facebook is. I don't know what Facebook is going to do.
Maybe they're just
going to get these companies. They're going to get these companies and they're going to ruin them.
Interesting. Well, let's then get to this.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
So as we talked about last week, the problem with these markets are they're so goddamn choppy that it's impossible to keep anything on the list short or long.
Except for Medtronic.
Well, that's because we don't have a stop on it. There's no stops on those tracking stocks.
Oh, that's right.
So they're doing their thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right, because one of them is already down 12% and it hasn't been taken off.
Right.
Well, maybe we should readjust, at least for the short term, to a 20% stop loss, across the board.
We could do that and then take those losses. So ServiceNow, Autodesk, Advanced Micro Devices, Shake Shack came off. Tesla's still on the short side. I have one for this week. And my thesis.
I have two.
My thesis on this one. We're all fat from sitting at home eating. during this stay at home.
Yeah.
So we're going to buy Weight Watchers.
Oh, that's a really good idea. Oh, you're going long. I'm done with that.
You're done with longs?
Yeah, longs. I'm done with longs.
All right, what do you got?
I'm shorting, and I'm only shorting, and that's I know realize that these got bumped, but in fact, and they got legitimately bumped. I mean, Autodesk is up for no good reason. ServiceNow's that's another one. ServiceNow's up. Up for no good reason. Shake Shack, which was yours, which you shorted. Well, you got me down for that one. That was your pick.
Sorry.
I never deal with this. You have these certain stocks I don't touch.
Yep, sorry. I updated it.
And Tesla is...
is yours.
Is mine, and it's doing well as a short 1%. It's kind of, you know, it's waiting.
Right.
So let's add a couple more to this.
Okay.
And I got bounced off the other ones. But now with the new 20% rule,
right,
I think I'll have better luck. So I am going to short Google.
Oh. Which is, there's two different symbols. You want to do G-O-O-L?
Which
doesn't,
one?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter.
Just getting either one of them.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I am going to short Moderna.
Yeah. Let's put that there. mRNA.
And I probably could come up with a couple more I'd like to short, but I'm going to stick to two and see what this 20% does for me. But I'm sure I'm not buying anything.
All right. Let's go in here. Let's go in here. 506. Okay. You can find all those over on the website, and we'll put those up. It's on the 20th, 2020. All right, and the we're going to do 20%, 20 on all these.
Yeah, all the new picks until the choppiness goes away.
Right, short dash 20%. Oh, typing is not working out so well tonight for me. And this is a JCD pick. Typing loud only because it's pissing me off this keyboard tonight. Okay, this looks good to me. I will see you again, I guess, next week.
Sounds good to me.
All right, see ya.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.